You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. You guys can be seated. If you have your Bibles, go to Psalms. The middle of your Bible should be easy to find. If you didn't bring a Bible, the words will be on the screen here in a moment. How many of you guys remember these guys? The hymnal. If you came on Wednesday night, we sang out of the hymnal, and it was cool. We're all at the bottoms in the pavilion, and Madison said, hey, turn to page 8, and we got to turn to page 8 and sing Be Thou My Vision from the hymn. Now, funny little story about how they got there. So as a team, we went to the pavilion shed to do some spring cleaning. There's a lot of junk in there. So we're getting ready to just throw everything away. We actually rented a dumpster, put it in front of the pavilion, and we're like, we're just going to trash everything. So we get there, and one of the first things we come across is just a gigantic stack of hymnals. So we're like, what do we do with these? Well, we don't use them anymore. We don't need them anymore. We have screens, right? So we all collectively said, I guess we toss them. So I hear some of you are shaking your head. I know. We weren't going to tell you guys. But so we just got armfuls and just started just dumping them in the dumpster, just one after the other. Like, the hymnals are gone. We haven't used them forever. They're taking up space. So we just trashed all of them, okay? Then we got all the other stuff that we need to throw away and just piled it all in this gigantic dumpster. It's to the brim. We're done with the day, and we're all sort of talking and hanging out, and we're talking about Wednesday night's word and prayer and worship, and we all had an idea. And we said, what if on Wednesday night we bring back the hymnals and we sing out of them? And we're like, great idea. And then it dawned on us. We just threw all of them away at the bottom of the dumpster. And now we have a great idea of singing out of these beautiful hymnals. So I'll show you a picture. This was Abby dumpster diving to try to find. I also dove in there. We're holding stuff up. We're pulling stuff away. And we're grabbing all of and rescuing the hymnals so that on Wednesday night, we could hold these things, turn to page 8 and sing Be Thou My Vision. And I will say, if you were there, it was special. And if you come this Wednesday, we're going to sing out of the hymnals this Wednesday too. There's something about a hymnal because it's curated songs. It's a certain collection. Like, I love Apple Music. Great invention. I can listen to any song I want to in the whole world just by tapping it in. It's great. But you know, sometimes when you have endless access to everything, it becomes somehow less valuable. Like, you know what I really love? When I get in my Jeep, because it's an 07 model, it doesn't have Apple Music. You know what it's got? A CD player. And I've got a stack of CDs sitting by the cup holder. And you know what I really enjoy is taking a CD out that's a certain artist that only has 12 songs on it, and the artist had to pick these songs, not those songs, and had to arrange them in a certain order to tell a certain story. So track 1 goes with track 2 and track 3, and you put it in, and you hit track 1, you hit play, and you listen to it. And you only got 12 options. You can skip ahead, but here's the beautiful songs. I love sticking a CD in and listening to only these songs. See, sometimes we have so much access to everything that we forget. Sometimes it's good to have a collection of, hey, these are the songs that we sing. That's what a hymnal does. And as we think about the Psalms, this is the Old Testament hymn book. These are the songs that Old Testament Israelites had to sing to God. There's an arrangement to them. There's an order to them. So what we're going to do over the summer is we're going to start CD 1. So the Psalms come in 5 CDs, actually books. We're going to call them CDs. And so we're going to pull them out. And as you look at the arrangement, we've actually got it up on the screen. The arrangement, you have book 1, chapters 3 through 41, and then you have book 2, book 3, book 4, and book 5. There's 150 Psalms. We're not going to be able to preach all of those. But what we're going to try to do is take the next 5 summers. So June, July, August. And for the next 5 summers, we're going to pull, okay, CD 1. We're going to put it in. And we're going to pick out the best 20, the top 20 hits of CD 1. And we're going to listen to those. And we're going to worship the Lord through those. And we're going to learn how to pray through these psalms. So I'm really excited about the Psalms. So I want to kind of just tease out a little bit of what other people say about the Psalms. Martin Luther would say this. He says, the Psalms are a little Bible and a summary of the whole Old Testament. So the Psalms is like a summary of the whole thing. All the action in the Old Testament finds its way into the Psalms. Bonhoeffer would say this, the Psalter is the prayer book of Jesus Christ in the truest sense of the word. If you look at Jesus' prayer, they were always the Psalms. He knew them, he sang them, and he prayed them. Calvin would say this, the Psalms are an anatomy of the parts of the soul, for there is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious of that are not represented here as in a mirror. You know what the Psalms do? They're emotional. They find all of our human emotion, from joy to anger to anxiety to depression to hope and wondering and are you there, Lord? When are you coming? Patience, sickness, suffering, all of those are in the Psalms. They're like a mirror that see our emotions and they feed our souls. Longman would say this, yes, the Psalms do intend to teach theology, but they also arouse the reader's emotions, stimulate their imagination, and appeal to their will. For these purposes, poetry is most effective. I mean, I love prose, but I also love poetry. You know why? Because poetry, and especially the Psalms, they don't just tell you something, they make you feel something. They paint you a picture and they say, be like this tree. And we get to not just know it, we get to feel it, and it gets in our bones, and we get to walk out. And that's what hopefully the Psalms are gonna do. They're gonna set fire under our bones. They're gonna stir our emotions and our pain and in our joys. One thing about the New Testament writers, when they quoted the Old Testament, they quoted the Psalms the most. Do you know what book Jesus quoted the most in the Old Testament? The Psalms. So that's where we're gonna go. June, July, and August. Book one, CD one, disc one, and we're going to put it in, and we're going to listen to the beauty of these Psalms. And I want to say, personally, I love the Psalms. I love reading them. Most of all, I love praying them. And we're going to experience some of that as a church also. So today we're going to talk about the way of happiness. That's song one of CD one, the way of happiness. And for some of you, you're looking for that. Man, I want to be happy. I want to have joy. I want to have purpose. I want to have meaning. And I just don't feel it right now. I'm just not getting it right now. I'm in despair. Life's not going well. How do I find happiness? How do I become a blessed man or woman? How do I find joy? And Psalm 1 is going to tell us there is a path towards happiness. And not just like a dopamine hit. Not just like happy right now and then no, a constant joy because you found something better than all else, and that is Christ. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Psalm chapter 1. And if you would stand, if you're able, out of reverence for the Word of God, we're going to read Psalm chapter 1 together. And then we're going to preach from that. So Psalm chapter 1, the words will be on the screen. If you don't have your Bibles, here's what the Word says. Blessed or happy, some translations say, is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would help us to see this beautiful psalm, and that by doing so, we would be trees. Trees that are planted by streams of water. Trees that are loving and delighting in your ways and your word, and that we are the ones that you know, and we're the ones that are going to stand in the end because our destiny is with you. We pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen. You guys may be seated. So we're going to see we have desire. So kind of these Psalms are going to have desire, identity, and destiny. So the first two verses are going to be about desire. What do you love the most? And really simple, do you love the word most and God's ways most, or do you love the world that's against him most? So what do you love most? And what you love most is gonna show who you really are. That's identity. Are you a tree planted by streams of water, or are you dry chaff that the wind's going to just blow away? And then, depending on who you are, a tree or chaff, you're going to have a destiny. And the destiny is you're either going to stand in judgment with the congregation of the righteous, or you're going to be swept away and perish with the wicked. So you might be like, well, man, I don't want to perish. How do I know that the Lord knows me? How do I know that I'm going to make it in the end? What do you desire? And what does that tell you about yourself? Because what you desire shows who you are, and who you are is determining your destiny. So we're going to look through these. So we're first going to go with desire. And we're going to see that desire fuels direction. So as we look at desire, we're going to see verses 1 through 2. And it starts with this. And we're asking, what do you love most? Blessed is the man. So happy is the man. Blessed is the man. And there's an echo of Jesus in Matthew 5 where he says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are the... His Beatitudes are echoing back to this Psalm 1. There's a way to be blessed. There's a way to have a blessed life. And if you want to use the word happy, though we think about happy as like very temporary and just based on dopamine, no, a happiness that is settled, a steady joy, how can you have that? Well, happiness starts with not doing something, and then it continues with doing something. So first, let's start with what you don't do in order to be a blessed man or woman. What do you do? Well, first, you don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. You don't stand in the way of sinners, and you don't sit in the seat of scoffers. And it's kind of this progression. So first, you're walking. You're walking in the counsel, in their advice, in what they say, their worldview. You're flirting with a way that's against the Lord, and you're sort of casting your lot in and walking with them. And then there's this, okay, now you're taking your stand in their way. And now, man, they're open sinners, and you're now standing, and it's like, this is my people. And then it becomes so comfortable that you take your seat with the scoffers. What's the difference between a scoffer and a sinner? Well, a sinner's doing what God says no to. A scoffer is laughing at the things of God. A scoffer is calling righteousness wicked and wickedness righteousness. A scoffer is mocking the Christian faith. A scoffer is going one step above and beyond, and you have become the person who is so caught up in the world that you're actually laughing and mocking at the things of God. That is the path, not of happiness, but of being miserable. Being empty. So what Piper would say about these two verses is it's all about influence. And the question is, what will be your primary influence? Will it be the world around you or the Word of God? Like two influences, the Word of God or the world around you. So let's think about what not to do. First of all, don't be influenced by the world around you, by the counsel, the advice, by the way and the seats of people and persons and things that are going against the Lord. Now, we've all been caught up in this, right? Like, you've probably been caught up in something where a group of people were doing something that you know was not good, and you just sort of followed along. Right? You were kind of walking. You weren't in it. You weren't near it. You were just getting close to it. And then before long, you were standing in it, and then you were sitting in it, and now you're guilty just like they are. Can anybody like shake of heads? Like, has anybody been in that situation where you got into a little bit of trouble because you're with the wrong crowd? Like, for instance, when I was in high school, I raced motocross. A lot of you guys know that. This was before I met Jesus. I will go ahead and preface. And we went to Branson, Missouri for an amateur national championship. And so it's me and like 1,000 other motocross guys. And so we're racing during the day. And then at night, what do you do when you're in Branson at night? Well, a bunch of motocross dudes decided go-karts would be the most fun to just get off some energy, have a little fun together. So me and 20 of my best friends all get in go-karts, and I'm just kind of going along. It was their idea. They want to do this, so we get on the go-karts, and the little guy's telling us all the rules. There's no bumping. There's no spinning. There's no hitting. And those all rules, right? And of course, we're not listening to any of this, or I am, but I don't think they are. So here we go. a bunch of motocross kids with go-karts, right? So you can imagine there was a little bit of bumping. There was a little bit of spinning, right? And I'll be honest, I bumped a little bit too, and I spun out a few of my friends too. And it got so wild where we are now flipping each other over. We're hitting each other on the rails, and go-karts are going off the track and spinning out into the road. It's getting bad. Okay. And I'm just like, I'm just there. I'm just with them, right? I'm not doing this, but I'm just with them. And so eventually it got so bad that the little guy hit the kill button, and all of our go-karts had this electric kill on them. So all of them stopped dead in our tracks. And now the guy is very furious, yelling at all of us because we didn't follow any of the rules of no bumping, no spinning, no crashing. We're doing all of that, right? Now our go-karts are just sitting still. And I'm right in the seat of scoffers, right? I'm right there in the middle of it, but I'm just there. And then all of a sudden, one guy, I didn't even know, jumps out of the go-kart, and he starts running and pulling everybody's plug off of their engines. So all of a sudden, all the go-karts are coming back alive because the kill switch is now gone. So I'm just sitting here, I'm obeying the rules, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But then all of a sudden, my go-kart just revs back up. And I found myself pushing the gas and going forward. Again, I'm just following what they're doing. I'm just going with what they're doing. And all of a sudden, I'm back to bumping, crashing, spinning, doing all the stuff. And it is getting wild again. So much that the guy has another good plan. And that is, he gets the big gate and he puts it over the track so that everybody has to come back into the pits. Right? Because when you pull the gate this way, you can't go through it. It's a barrier. So now all of us are coming back in the pits, and the guy is just going nuts on us. He's never seen anything like this, I promise. He's yelling. He's red-faced. We all get back into the pits, and I'm just there with everybody, right? I think I would have done better, but I'm just with them, right? One of my buddies doesn't come into the pits. He turns his cart around, and he goes backwards through the whole track. And when he comes backwards, he then hits the gate, swings it back open. And guess what we all do? I just followed them, right? It was their advice, their counsel. Here we all speed back onto the track, and we're all back crashing, spinning, hitting each other. One guy gets off the track, drives down the main road with his go-kart. And then all of a sudden, all the cops show up, and we all got escorted out of the track. Yeah, it's all fun until like the cops show up, right? And then it's like, okay, we probably stepped a little too far. Again, that was before Jesus, before I knew him. But it's really easy, right? You've been in those moments where it just feels fun. It's great. This is awesome. And you get caught up and it's like, yeah, rules, what God wants, what I should do. None of that matters. I'm having a ball. And then all of a sudden it gets out of control and you find yourself sitting in a place and there's blue lights. And it's like, man, I got way too caught up. Right? That's how the influence goes. That's how putting your lot in with those who are rebelling against the Lord, eventually it's going to get you to a place where, man, you don't want to be. And so he's saying, if you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, if you want to walk with the Lord, don't follow these ways. Don't follow these people. Don't get caught up in those desires. And for us, it's not only like the friends we hang out with and the places we go, but all of these desires and influence come into our homes. They come through our smartphones. So it's what you doom scroll, what you look at, what invades your thoughts and your minds, what you look at, what you're on, binging Netflix, all of that. There's counsel, there's ways, and there's seats that are either for God or against God. The question is, where do you find yourself most comfortable? Which do you love the most? The ways that are against the Lord or the ways that are for the Lord? Because notice, the blessed man doesn't get caught up in the ways of the world, but I love this, but his delight. Notice that word, it's a huge word, but his delight. It doesn't say his duty is to do what God says. No, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. What keeps the blessed man or woman from following and going with the ways of the world? They have a delight for something better, a delight for something else, and that's a delight for God and God's ways. Notice the delight is in the law of the Lord. That's God's ways, God's plans, what God has said. Here's how God tells you to live. The blessed woman or man is putting their life and leaning into how God has told me to live. That's my highest desire. That's my delight. Well, the question is, where does that delight come from? Well, this person has a habit, and the habit is they meditate on the word day and night. They are reading and loving the Bible. They're seeing the Bible not just as like a checklist, but as a treasure chest. That they're seeing who God is and what he's done through the scriptures, and they're loving to get in the word and to read it. And as they see who God is, they want to follow him more and follow the world less. It's about delight. It's about desire. So if you want to be a happy person, it's having your desires pointed in the right direction. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Desire fuels direction. We're going to put that up on the board. Desire fuels direction. So the direction of your life is fueled by your desires. Notice the word. Why is this person not going with the world? Why are they going with the Lord? Because they delight in it. So the question is, why does the unhappy person follow the course of the world and stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of scoffers? Because they most delight in it. The unhappy person delights in sin, delights in wrath and malice and lust and greed and all the things that God says no to. That's his or her desire. That's what they love, and it leads them to do those things. And in loving those things and doing those things, it actually makes them miserable on the other end. See, your desire fuels your direction. Well, how does the happy person in the Lord stay away from those things? They have a desire for something better. They have a desire for the ways of the Lord and for the word of the Lord. And those desires set them in a different place. See, desire, and it determines direction. It determines choice. Like, have you ever tried to get a toy from a toddler? Heard a preacher once say this. That was great. Have you ever tried to take a toy from a toddler? Well, for one, it doesn't work well, right? They usually scream and yell and kick and how do you get a toy from a toddler? You don't just say, give it to me. Instead, you know what you can do? You can show them a better toy. You know what happens if you show a toddler a better toy? They'll drop the other one and they'll say, give me that. That's what God does with us through the gospel. He doesn't just say, put down all of your sin and put down all the things. No, he gives you something better. He gives you himself. He gives you Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you'll get rid of all the little toys and you'll say, I want that. Jesus is better. Your desires will be attuned to him, and it'll affect everything about your life. So, question for you, which do you love the most? Do you love the world that is against God, or the world how God made it? Like, which do you love the most? Do you love the world, or do you love the word of God? Because your life is a battle of desires. What you desire and what you love is what you will do. And the truth is, God's way actually is better. Like, Forrest Frank is right. Your way is better. But it doesn't always look like that. Like, the Grammys always look cooler than the Doves. Just does. It's the world. It's the system. It always looks better. It always seems like the best, but it is not. But we're so easily entertained and so easily chasing after things that are less. I love what C.S. Lewis would say about our desires. He says this in The Weight of Glory, and I want to read it. He says this, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slums because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. God's not worried that your desires are too strong. He's worried that they're too small. You're settling for the ways and the counters of the culture instead of seeing how great he is. You're following the world because you think it's the best, but he is actually better. You're like a kid playing in the mud because you can't imagine a vacation at the beach. That's what God's offering. Better. So who's the one who walks in the way of the Lord? The one who delights in the ways of the Lord, the one who delights in the word of God, the one who delights in God. If you delight in God, you'll be the blessed man who walks in the right ways. If you don't delight in God, you will try to delight in the world and it will leave you miserable and empty, not full and fulfilled. Just will. So be the blessed man. Now, before we move on, I just want to point out that there is only one true blessed man. Like, let's go back to Psalm 1 and 2. None of us have done that. None of us have delighted in the law of the Lord and meditated on it day and night and have resisted the counsel and the way and the seat of sinners and the wicked and the scoffers. So none of us are the blessed man or woman who does all of these things and then has the blessing of God. We have all failed at this. There is only one blessed man and his name is Jesus. Only Jesus resisted all these things and truly loved and desired his Father's will and his Father and always did what's right and got the blessing from God. He's the only true blessed and happy person who walks with the Lord. But here's the really good news. This is where the gospel comes in. The gospel is not, hey, try to be blessed by not doing that and doing this. No, the gospel is become blessed in Jesus. That you've sinned, but Jesus didn't. You're unrighteous. He is righteous. And here's the gospel. If you'll repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, he'll take your unrighteousness and he'll give you his righteousness. He'll give you his blessing so that you can be the blessed man now. You can be the one who's always resisted evil and always said yes to God. You can have God's blessing, and with God's blessing, you can now start living as a blessed man or woman who resists the world and follows the Lord. See, it happens in the gospel, rooted in the gospel. It's you have the blessing of Jesus if you're a Christian. Now live out that blessing by doing what? Resisting the desires to follow the world and instead keep loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So your desire determines your direction. And then we're going to see also desire exposes your identity. So your desire is going to expose your identity. Your desire is going to tell you who you are. And there are two options. You're either a tree planted by streams of water, or you're dried chaff that the wind's going to blow away. There's not a third ground. There's not a, well, I'm kind of like a, there's two options. You're a tree planted by streams of water, or you're chaff that the wind's going to drive away. So what we need to do right now is to ask the Lord, okay, show me, am I a tree or am I chaff? And we're going to look at our desires to help us figure out who we are, because notice the flow of the text. The blessed man or woman who doesn't do this, who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. He's a tree and its fruit, it's yielding in its season, and its leaf, it does not wither. So here's what I want you to feel. This is what poetry does. I want you to feel and see that you want to be a tree planted by streams of water. Now let's think about the imagery that people would have heard. So they're probably in a desert land hearing this. So if you see a huge tree that's prosperous and fruit growing, fruit bearing, yielding, it's shady, everyone's flocking to it. You have a giant tree in the middle of a desert. What do you know? There's water somewhere really close. It got help, right? Remember the turtle on the fence post? It got help. It didn't just happen. Something happened to it. So here's a tree, and what's the source of the tree's growth and fruit and usefulness? It's the flowing river beside it. It has a constant source of nourishment. What is that? It's the word of God. Because this blessed person has been meditating on the word day and night. They've put their feet in the water of the word. They've put their life on God's word, and it is now the very source of their growth. It is everything good in their life is coming from following the Lord's ways and soaking in his word and loving him more than all else. So I would ask, are you a tree planted by streams of water? Are you rooted in God's word, soaking in God's ways, following the Lord, walking with him, desiring him most? And in your life, can you feel fruit being produced through the Holy Spirit? Like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Are those fruits growing in your life because you're rooted in water, and all of a sudden you, as you grow, are becoming shade to people and you're useful to people, and people are coming around you because you look a lot like the Lord. You're that beautiful tree that is good for your family and your community and your church. People are blessed by you because you've been blessed by God. Are you a tree? Or the other option is the person who's following the world and loving all of the ways of the world most, what are they? The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. They're like chaff. Now, so what is chaff? Well, if you're farming wheat, you have wheat. Wheat is valuable. Wheat is good. Farmers want wheat. They're going to go and harvest, and they're going to harvest the wheat. They're going to bring it to the threshing floor. And through the winnowing process, you take the wheat and the stalk and you throw it up. And as you throw it up and it goes into the air in ancient days, wheat would go, and also chaff. Chaff would be the hard, dry shell casing that's around the wheat and in the stalk, and it's not useful. It's not fruitful. Nobody eats it. Nobody plants it. It's not good for anything. It's just with the wheat. It's associated with wheat. But through the winnowing process, you get rid of the chaff because it's of no good. It's not watered and fruitful. It's dry and useless. And so through the process, you can imagine a farmer with all this wheat who's thrashed it, and now he's winnowing. He's throwing it up in the air, and the wheat and the chaff is flying in the air, and all of a sudden, as the wind is blowing, the chaff that is dry and useless is blown out of the barn, and what remains is the wheat that's good and tasteful and fruitful and useful. And so he's saying, some of you are, you're with the wheat, you're in the field, you're in the congregation, you're in the church, you're here, but in reality, you're dry chaff. There is no fruit. There is no root. There is no growth. There is no usefulness. There is no glorifying the Lord. You're not planted by streams of water. You're completely dry. And what's going to happen is the wind is going to blow, and you're going to be blown out, not remain in. Like eventually things will happen that are going to reveal you don't truly have the relationship you think you have, because you don't really delight in the Lord. You delight in maybe religion. You delight in maybe status. You delight in something else, but you don't delight in Jesus, and you're not a tree, you're chaff. And at the end, what happens to chaff is it gets blown away. So I want you to think in your own mind, okay, which one am I? Am I a tree planted by streams of water that's growing and fruitful and useful, or am I chaff? Am I dry because I'm not soaking the word? I'm not loving the word. I'm not seeking after the Lord. And if I'm honest, if anything happens, I'm going to be blown away. So let's back up a little bit. Okay, well, how do we become a tree, or how do we get to where we're chaff? How do we know our identity? Well, desire shows us our identity. So the question is, what do you desire? Do you desire the word and the ways of God? If you do, you're like a tree planted by streams of water. Do you desire the world and the counsel of the wicked and the ways of the sinners and the seed of scoffers? If that is your desire and thing you love most, then it says you are chaff, you're dry, you don't have a relationship with the Lord, and you're going to be blown away. So if you want to know, okay, am I a tree or am I chaff? Look at what you desire most. And I'll boil it down really simple. Do you love God most, or do you love the world most? I mean, basic question. And only you can answer that. Only you can answer in your heart and in your mind and in your life, which one do you love the most? Now, I know we are a mixed bag. None of us love the Lord God perfect, right? None of us always love the Lord. We are so prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Right? We sing that. We're like, yes, that's me. I went back to this. There is a struggle. There is a fight with our flesh, but at the end of the day, what's your highest desire? Do you want to be a tree planted that's growing and flourishing? Do you love the word and rooted in the word and planted in the word, and you're trying to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and strength? Is that you? Or when you look at your life, can you say, you know, if I'm honest, I could care less about any of those things. What I care most is TikTok, Instagram, social media, politics, world, all those other things. And none of those things are wrong in of themselves, but they can definitely take you into current in places where they are king, they are Lord, they are God's. And I just love the world. I just love all the binging things. I love all the delightful things that are so tasty and feel so good. That's just me. Well, then you're chaff. And when the wind comes, you're going to be blown away because you're not a tree. So your desire shows your identity. And here's what I want to say. Identity points to your destiny. So I want you to see who you are, a tree or chaff, which is shown by your desires. Do you love God or the world? It has a destiny. It's going somewhere. There are two very different ends to a tree and chaff. And I want you to see how this psalm ends in these two very different ends. One stand and one is going to fall. It says this, therefore, so based on this, based on your loves and your identity, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So I want you to see right off the bat, there are two very different ends. There are two very different destinations. The tree and chaff don't end up at the same place. So I want you to picture it. There is a fork in the road, and you have a decision to make. Do I go left or do I go right? And here's what we believe. It doesn't matter. Just do what you want. It's all going to work out in the end. And what the Psalms is saying is, no. The wicked aren't going to stand in the judgment. They're going to be swept away. Only the righteous, only the ones that the Lord knows are going to be able to stand in judgment and in the congregation of God's people. So there is a fork in the road. So if you're a tree, you're going one way. If you're chaff, you're going the other way. And your desires tell you what road you're on. And they're very different. I remember when I was a freshman in college, I got to that fork in the road. Like, it was right here, like, oh, here is the world and everything my heart loves, and here is a different way. Here is Jesus. And I had a decision to make. Who will I follow and love the most? And thank the Lord, he opened my eyes to see how much better Jesus is than all the world has to offer. And I was able to, at that moment, at that crossroads, to repent and believe in Christ and start down this path. But it's a very different end than the other path. And so I want you to ask, okay, what is my destiny? What am I walking towards in this fork in the road? Where am I going? Because Jesus paints the picture very well that there are two different paths and there are two different ends. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 7:13. He says this, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So there's two gates. So I just figure, fork in the road, there's two gates. There's a left gate and a right gate. And he says, enter by the narrow gate. What's the narrow gate? It's him. It's a relationship with him. It's repenting and believing in Christ. That's how you walk through the narrow gate. What's the wide gate? It's anything and everything else. Whatever religion, whatever self-project, whatever you want, do you. That's the other one. And it's really wide and it's easy to go through. One is narrow because it's only through Jesus. And when you get through the narrow gate, the way, man, it's narrow and hard. Like following Jesus is not always easy. Has anybody experienced that? Like what Jesus tells you to say no to and say yes to, it's not always easy, right? It's against our flesh. We have to walk by the Spirit. It's the narrow way, but there's another one that's wide and it's easy and a lot of people don't. It's just this big party. It's like, man, you're on the go-kart track and you're just going. Like, it's just fun. You don't have a regard for anything but you and your happiness. But then you get to the end. And the narrow path that's hard, it ends with life. And the easy way that's easy and wide, it ends with destruction. It's exactly what Psalm 1 is trying to say. Hey, your desires that show your identity, it points to your destiny. There is two different destinies. And we don't only think about, judgment, right? That they won't stand in judgment. Like, I don't know about judgment. Let's get away from that. Do you know who talked about hell more than anyone in the Bible? Jesus. It shocks people when I tell them that. They're like, no, Jesus would never. Yeah, he did. He talked about it the most. Do you know why Jesus talked about hell the most? Because he doesn't want you to go there. And because he suffered hell for you so that you won't. That's why he talks about it often. He doesn't want you to fall in judgment. He wants you to stand because he's taking God's judgment on your behalf for you so that you can stand in his righteousness and have the judgment go over you and not touch you, and you can stand in the congregation of the righteous. But I just want you to see, if you are chaff, you have a different destination than if you're a tree. There's a different destiny. So your desires show your identity. Your identity shows your destiny. And so what about the others? What about those who stand? What about those who don't fall? Were they better? Did they try harder? No, it's the ones who the Lord knows. Like, I love it. We'll go back to the verses. It says, but the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Now, question. What does it mean when it says the Lord knows them? He knows their ways. Like, does it mean he doesn't know the wicked? He doesn't have a clue of their names and the hair on their heads? No, God knows everyone on the planet. He knows all of the hairs on all of our heads. He knows the wicked. So the word know, it's about intimacy. It's about covenant relationship. He's in a relationship with the people who escape judgment. He knows them in a covenant relationship. He has intimacy with them. He is their father and they are his kids. That's the knowing the way of the righteous. And so I just want to ask, does the Lord know you? Like, think about that. Does the Lord know you? I didn't say, do you know the Lord? I said, does the Lord know you? Like, we all know a lot of probably famous people that we know a lot. Like Rory McIlroy, I know everything about him. I watch all of his golf, all of his videos. I try to swing like him, hit like him, everything. Like, I know him almost personally, I feel like, right? And if I saw him at Walmart, you guarantee I'm gonna be like, Rory, what's up, man, dude? Like, I'm gonna start talking about everything. You know what Rory's gonna tell me? Like, who are you? I have no idea who you are, dude. Because Rory doesn't know me. I know him, he doesn't know me, right? And Jesus would say in Matthew 7, and not to scare us, but it's a sobering text. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. See, in the end, it's about the ones the Lord knows, that the Lord has a relationship with. And some of us are going to say, yeah, we did it all, went to church and went to vacation. I volunteered for vacation. I got the t-shirt for Vacation Bible School. Yeah, you tried hard and did good, but you didn't have a relationship with God. You didn't know him and he didn't know you. He wasn't your father and you weren't his kid. So I would ask, do you actually have a relationship with the Lord Jesus? Do you know him and does he know you? Because the ones he knows are the ones who are going to stand and escape judgment because he has a covenant relationship with them. So I know what you're thinking now. You're like, well, how do I know if I know that he knows me, right? It's like, ooh, this is, okay, how do I know this? Well, I think Psalm 1 gives us a way that we can know whether or not God knows us. And it starts with, okay, well, what's your identity? Are you a tree planted by streams of water that's growing and fruitful and bearing the fruit of God? Or are you chaff that's just dry and is going to get driven away? Which one are you? Are you a tree or are you chaff? Well, how do I know if I'm a tree or chaff? Go back to your desires. What do you love most? Do you love the world and all that it has to offer you, and that's all the time what you go towards? Or is your highest desire, I love God's ways and I love God's words and I want God most? If you have a desire for the Lord most, it shows you're not chaff, you're a tree, and you're a tree because God is your father and you are his kid. See, your desire points to your identity, and your identity points to your destiny. So I would ask, are you a tree or are you chaff? Are you going to stand or are you going to fall? Do you love the Lord or do you love the word? Do you love the Lord or do you love the world? Because that's going to show up and determine how this thing's going to go. We're going to end with a song as the band's going to come back out. I want to do something a little bit different as they come. In response, before we ask you if you need help, we'd love for you to come. If you need to talk about salvation, we are open at the front. But I want to pray Psalm 1 over us as a congregation, because I think we're going to learn the Psalms. We're going to preach the Psalms. Hopefully we're going to sing some of them. And we want you to be a people that pray the Psalms. And maybe you're thinking, I'm not sure how that would work to actually pray the Psalms. I want to just show you by praying the Psalms for us and maybe how you could do that on your own. So if you would bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to pray Psalm 1 over us as we go to the Lord and ask him to do this in our lives. Father, we want to be blessed men and women. Father, help us not to walk in the counsel of the wicked. Help us not to stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But God, make our delights your ways, your laws. Let us meditate on your word day and night. Father, as we meditate, make us to be like trees that are planted by streams of water. Help us to yield fruits in our proper season. God, help our leaves not wither. God, in all that we do for your will and your glory, let those things prosper. God, we don't want to be like the wicked, because they're not that way. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. They're empty and dry. Don't let us be empty and dry. Therefore, Lord, don't let us be like the wicked who will not stand in the judgment. They'll be swept up in your wrath. The sinners, they won't stand in the congregation of the righteous. But Lord, help us be the ones you know, who you're in relationship with. Show us that you are our Father and we are your sons and daughters. Know our ways. Have a relationship with us. Father, don't let us go the way of the wicked who will perish. But in Christ, let us have everlasting life. We pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.